السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. حضرت مفتی عبد القادر صاحب, اہلن وسہلن و مرحبن ٹو یو دس بیوٹیفل تھرزڈے مارننگ. مے اللہ تعالیٰ بلیس یو ود عافیت اینڈ گڈ ہیلتھ, اینڈ اللہ تعالیٰ ٹیک گریٹ ورک آف دین اینڈ اسلام فرام یو. حضرت مفتی صاحب, اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ گرانٹ یو توفیق, دا پلیٹفارم از یورس.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بارک اللہ فیکم سلیم کریم. آمین 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 ٹو آل دا ونڈرفل دعاز اینڈ سپلیکیشنز. جزاک اللہ خیرن ٹو آور ٹیکنیشینس برادر جنید خان اینڈ برادر زکریہ. نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم, اما بعد, اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی. سبحانک لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انک انت العلیم الحکیم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 10th of Safar, 1446. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, today we focus on chapter 37, Surah Safat, verses 51, 52, 53. Now the people of Jannah, Paradise, enjoying all the bounties, favors that are recurring and showering upon them. No worry, no sorry, no anxiety, no jealousy, no envy. Then one person will say, of Jannah, of Paradise, chapter 37, verse 51. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ. One of them will say, who is this one of them? We don't know. But he is in Jannah, a Jannati, a person in Paradise, in Jannat al-Firdaus. إِنِّي كَانَ لِي قَرِينٌ. Verily, you know, I had a very close friend of mine, my bosom buddy, and we used to interact with one another, and so forth. Yaqul, and he used to say, obviously it was in the past tense, but Almighty Allah mentions it now in the present tense, so that we must try and visualize that there is this Muslim person, sincere, devoted, dedicated. There is this secularist, there is this capitalist, there is this Zionist. So all these people who are promoting, advocating, peddling all the batil, falsehood, and all the vain activities. So he is saying, meaning he said, إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ. O you Muslim, are you also confirming this? Do you really believe in it from the bottom of your heart? There'll be life after death, there'll be day of justice, then there will be paradise and Jannah, then there'll be hell and the fire and the inferno. Do you really believe in this? إِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابَ وَإِذَامَا. That non-Muslim would say, what? Hamza istifham inkar. So a rhetorical question you are trying to ask. Aitha mitna, what really? When a person dies, when we die, wa kunna turabo wa idama, and we are reduced to dust, wa idama, and our bodies have decomposed and disintegrated and become bones and finished into dust. Inna lamadinun, then what? There will be retribution. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wonderful, beautiful hadith in Bayhaqi, that he said, kama tadinu tudan, as you treat others, so you'll be treated. So yeah, the same words I use, inna lamadinun, what? Will we be the day of retribution? There will be the day. So he was like astonished and amazed and so forth. Then obviously the Muslim would tell him and inform him. But people's pride, arrogance, ignorance gets the better of them, and then they reject the message and the messenger. Today's world, we see our modern world, and the AI world, artificial intelligence, the precursor to Dajjal and the biggest deceiver, the Antichrist and so forth. So it is a deception. But how many people are going to believe in it? Today we have 8 billion plus people on this earth. If we look at Muslims, all 2 billion, all is just propaganda. They include all the Shias and Aga Khanis and Qadianis and all these shaitans. So remember, let's just round it off as 1 billion. So 7 billion plus people are non-Muslim. Now we exclude the children and all of them. So we will say now 6 billion. So from that 6 billion, remember that. Why do they reject the message and messenger? Their pride, their arrogance, their ignorance gets the better of them, and they feel in Islam there's too much discipline, there is too much laws, too many rules, regulations. وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ Satan, Lucifer, Iblis comes to them and embellishes and adorns for them their vices and sins and so forth. Otherwise, deep down, they know that there's a big vacuum in their life. And therefore you see so many of them, they commit suicide, so many of them become junkies, addicted to drugs, addicted to pornography, addicted to the casino and every vice you can think of. So that is the vacuum in people's life. And the only panacea solution you will find is in Islam. Islam addresses our body, our soul, and gives us nourishment for both. And that is why Islam is called Islam. It will guarantee you peace, O Muslim, O Muslimah, provided that we are true Muslims and not part-time Muslims and sanctimonious, that we have a double identity. In front of people with somebody else, and in private we continue with our vices and sins. So may Almighty Allah guide us all to the truth and grant humanity the true peace of Islam, which is the best, and we have to share it with the rest. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today is the 10th of Safar, 1446, and Gaza genocide today, day number 3, 1, 4, 3, 14. We present to you the news, views, interviews locally, nationally, globally and internationally. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Jutlas, the Jews, they are a cursed nation, right? According to their own statistics, that by the year 2030, there'll be 10,000 Jews that they will be mentally disturbed, and half of them will be gone crazy, and the other half will be wounded, injured. You know, 10,000 of them already killed, and by Hamas, and we're very proud about it. They already dispatched to Jahannam and the hellfire. So therefore, they've gone crazy now. They don't know what to do. They can't win on any front. Internationally, they are a pariah state. And everywhere they go, people are telling them that you are guilty of genocide, you are war criminals, and so forth and so on. Gaza is the bloodiest conflict and war in this century because of the Israeli apartheid terrorist Nazi regime, that they keep on murdering innocent people, babies and children and civilians. And 4 Israeli soldiers wounded seriously, alhamdulillah, we're very proud about it. Let them frack. And if you don't know what's the meaning of frack, frack means let them die like dogs. We have no sympathy, empathy for them. Israel itself is sabotaging the ceasefire deal. Who said so? Go read New York Times. And you see now the envoy from America, from Britain are all gone there. They want to beat now Netanyahu and say we must make a deal. There must be ceasefire. The hostages must come home. Everybody speaks about the Jutla hostages, the Jewish hostages. No one in the Western press or the Zionist press speaks about the Palestinians. There are 10,000, 20,000 of them there in the Israeli jails. Some of them being tortured. tortured, some of them being raped, some of them being beaten and humiliated, stripped or totally naked they are. So this is Israel, remember that. So now you see what the, listen to this, hey you Jutla, Jutli, Harami, you know I'm speaking to you, record me, I'm very happy and proud about that. The Jutlas are recording me for the past 20 years. This is what your Haaretz newspaper writes. This is in their main articles. Israel minister has been appointed who is a Kahana's crook. Can you believe that? They're calling their own minister a crook in a Jewish newspaper. And who is that? Surprise, surprise, Ben-Gvir, the biggest terrorist who entered Masjid al-Aqsa day before yesterday. And he is the most hated person. A crook he is, according to your Israeli press. Can you believe that? Smotrich the Harami, he's Siamese twin. They're all twins, these guys. Smotrich is the Siamese twin of Ben-Gvir, and Ben-Gvir is his Siamese twin, and the father, Harami, is he, Bibi Netanyahu. So Smotrich says there will be new settlements in the West Bank. They are master crooks, Israelis and Jutlas. They'll tell you we want peace, P-E-A-C-E, but they will keep on stealing pieces of land that belongs to the Palestinians according to international law. I tell you, the whole of Israel is fraudulent. From 1948 and before, 46, 47, you had the Haganah gang, the Stern gang, and you had, you must remember, all these characters there. So go read their history, then you will know that you had these gangs, and they were massacring the Muslims and the Palestinians and so forth. And then they formed the Israeli Diaper Force, Defense Force, and so forth. So Germany defends Israel's massacre in Gaza. So Germany, if you got so many, so much feeling for Israel, why the hell don't you call them there to Germany? Why don't you send them here to Namibia? It was your colony, it was your colony. So you murdered them, you killed them, not the Palestinians, not the Arabs, not the Muslims. So now you want to defend them, you murderers, you haramis, you slaughterers. So China condemns Israel for their war crimes and massacre. U.S. approves, Israel, United States says, no, we must de-escalate, de-escalate. But look at their actions. United States approves 20 billion weapons sale to Israel. So they will give them as many arms as possible, maximum amount of money and support. Their own American people must suffer. And now, remember, APEC and them are getting worried because the American public, the masses who are S's, and now they waking up to what happens. Ilhan Omar is a lady from Somalia, and now I agree with her on this score that she's a great critic of Israel and the Zionist regime, but on many other things we don't agree with her. But she won her primary and so forth, and the Jutlas are burning because they spend millions and millions of dollars to kick them out, but always they lose. Some places they win, but still they get humiliated. Taliban celebrated 3 years of power. This is our Taliban. You see that? Our Mujahideen. And who was there with them? One side was China. One side was Iran. And now they're showing the world, America, Russia, all of you who invaded us, we will not give you preference. We will give other countries preference. Let them come and look for the lithium, for the gold, for the oil. And we will do wonderful deals with them. The foolishness of the Pakistani regime, because they're under the army and the army is being bribed daily by America and so forth. So now when Afghanistan wants to send food, wants to send this, import, export, they stop their trucks, everything for 2-3 days, everything gets rotten. So Afghan told Pakistan government and forge and army, go to hell, we will rather go with Iran and so forth. See how foolish Pakistan are. Gar ko aag lag gayi, gar ki chirag se. You're own policies make you score own goal. Civil war in Sudan, things are deteriorating, going from bad to worse, and now there's only one, two hospitals really functioning there in some places. And remember, the rapid forces are being financed by the UAE, the Emirates and so forth, because they're all chamchas and sidekicks and slaves of America and so forth. They don't want Islam. They hate Islam, these murtads and khabis, and they are the shaitan, Ouladu shaitan. Israel must close their torture cells, and that is the demand of the Palestinians throughout, because this is a shame that in this day and age they're having torture cells. I told you our worst enemies are the Jews and the Hindus. Jews, we know what they're doing there in Israel, in occupied Palestine. We don't recognize Israel. We will keep on echoing and repeating the words of our leader, قَالَ قَائِدُنَا إِسْمَعِيلَ لَنَّ أَتَرِفْ بِإِسْرَائِيلَ. Our leader, Sheikh Hafiz Ismail Haniya al-Shahid, said, we will never ever recognize Israel. Ismail and Israel. We will keep on calling it Al-Ardul Muhtalla, the occupied territories and occupied Palestine. So remember, Quran Sharif teaches us, chapter 5, verse 82, the ending of the six para, six Jews, and just before the seven para, seven Jews. Chapter 5, verse 82, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. That you will surely find now and in the future, your worst enemies are the Jutlas, are the Jews. Islam, the Quran didn't say Zionism, it said Jews. Then comes Zionism. Second one, وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا, and those people who are the mushriks and the idol worshippers, the Hindus. Look at Israel, look at India, and see what they are doing. They treat the Muslims as third, fourth class citizens. So you know, in 1992, thousands of people lost their lives and all that. Muslim, Hindu, and what have you, in a place called Ayodhya. Now, a few months ago, Modi, the criminal of the butcher of Gujarat, was there as the guest speaker, special guest, for the opening of their temple and so forth. And that is, according to Muslims, remember where the mosque was, and anyway, Babri Masjid and what have you. So now, there was so much pomp and glory, but now the Hindus are stealing the lights and the street lights and all that. Doesn't that resonate with South Africa? So a bunch of chores we got there, so it looks like the Hindus are stealing from their own churches or own temples, one should say, and around it and surrounding it and so forth. So go read all the news, what's happening there. So, and last night, there were thousands of Indians, professionals and the public, doctors and others, lawyers and whatever, and thousands of females, and they're protesting there in Calcutta, protesting there in Delhi, and so forth, thousands and thousands of them. How can a woman be raped here in the hospital and then murdered, and you come and tell us there's only one person that is guilty? So the justice is really skewed there. So therefore they want justice and they're screaming for justice. But by Modi you won't get justice, remember that. He's only interested in power. He and Netanyahu know that they will be toppled, inshallah, very, very soon. Now you see, most British want now to rejoin the EU. I was there in Britain that time. They used to invite me there, you know, in Blackburn and so forth, about 2 hours drive or something from there, you know, to London or whatever, 1.5 hour, 2 hours. So I used to tell them in the lectures that you are making a terrible mistake by Brexit. You know, that was the term that time. Brexit. Now they're suffering. So most of them want to rejoin the EU. They see this independent Britain is not working out. Labour is hopeless. And the Conservatives are hopeless. And we have shot ourselves in the feet and so forth. The Saudis are waking up now, bootlicking as usual. So they are foreign minister meets the British foreign minister in London, and they'll cook up more deals. What can we do against Hamas? What can we do against the true Muslims and so forth? And now there's a nightclub also in Saudi, the Beast. You got it? because Saudi Arabia is run by the beast. So now it's named there the beast, the Murtad, the Harami. So that is your Saudi Arabia, Darul Kufr. It's no more a Muslim country. It's a Pakka Kafir country. Every vice you will find there. You will find alcohol there. You will find bikini beaches there. You will find cinemas there. You will find nightclubs there. Everything you will find now. This is the Saudi. Why? They want 2030 Expo. They want 2034 World Cup. So they have to boot league and front league and back league the enemies of Islam. So that is what they're doing and so forth. The IDF, hey you Jutlas and Zionists and Haramis, you all say that Hamas is using civilians, as you must remember, you know, that human shields and so forth. So listen to what the IDF does. The IDF puts Palestinian guys and then they blindfold them and put them in the tunnels and say that we'll go inspect and so forth. So they use them as human shields. So if any explosion takes place, the Palestinians must die and we must be safe. That is your most moral army. Can you believe that? Pakistan expels thousands of Afghanis. People who stayed there for 30, 40 years, 45 years are expelled. Look at America. They woke up now and they want to come tell us they are the bastion of democracy and human rights. The court there in Arizona passed the law. Islam passed this law 1400 years ago and more. So now in Arizona, they said the unborn fetus will be treated as a human being. Did not Islam teach us all this? Islam said if a lady, now her husband passed away and she is pregnant, you cannot wind up that estate until and unless that baby is born. Maybe it's a boy, maybe a girl, maybe twins, and many issues there. So Islam treated the unborn fetus as a human being, and America is waking up today, the haramis, the war criminals. So India tightened security for Independence Day. Today is their Independence Day, 15th August, and that is 1947, so we should know all these type of things. Pakistan's was yesterday. Listen to this one, Liz Truss. So she was the Prime Minister of Britain and so forth. So her tenure was very, very short. So while she's giving a lecture and she says that, you know, Trump must win and Trump will win and so somebody, you know, projected on the screen there, I crashed the economy. So when she looked back, she was furious because it was a message to her. She was a total disaster for Britain. And she said, I crashed the economy. But meaning that now it came back to haunt her. She left the stage and podium and ran away the haramis. Listen to Elon Musk. Elon Musk, if you know, is born South African, multi-billionaire, an apartheid child. They made money during the apartheid era. So Elon Musk bans Mandela's grandson. And he say he's too critical of Israel. And you know that lady who won that in Olympics boxing, she donored that Italian and all the others. So because she won a gold medal, so now Elon Musk and them are bullying her. So she's laying charges. So we're not justifying boxing also. We're justifying that and highlighting how the two standards, double standards are. That if a Muslim wins, then they want to say no, that there was something wrong. And so if a Jutla wins, they will say what a master he is. North Korea to open their borders to tourists. I went right to the border when I visited South Korea. I said, show me the border. Then I just saw big wires there and all. I say, hey, I better don't go near. Just now I get exploded and so forth. Listen to the Jutla representative in the United Nations, the Harami, the war criminal, and the architect of genocide. In his last speech, he says, I'm very proud of Israel. Israel is the most moral country in the world. Can you believe that right in the United Nations there? So remember, you donkey, you monkey, you fool, and swine, you must go tell that to the animals in Kruger National Park. They also will laugh at you, such a donkey you are. New Zealanders' economy has gone bad and is turning pear-shaped there. So many of them are leaving the country. Yeah, in Soweto, not far from us, yeah, the foreigners are being attacked, the Pakistanis, the Indians, and Bengalis, and so forth, Dudulula, or whatever they call themselves. So they are attacking arresting them and saying, you guys must get out. But the foreigners are not committing a crime. So you see, when you can't run a business, then you look at other people to blame. Only 11% of people in South Africa are paying electricity in Alex, if you know Marlboro and all those areas. So that's our new South Africa. Few people pay, but everybody expects services. And the biggest criminals are the parliamentarians and the politicians. Just go look at their wages and their perks, and just go look at the king of Zululand or Zulu or whatever, and in Kandla and all, whatever you want to call. Go see, you must remember that what perks they are getting, wages they are getting. And then you say that the youth unemployment is over 35% and so forth. Just slash the wages. But who's prepared to do that? Everybody wants more and more and more. Hal min mazid. Therefore, they'll end up in Jahannam. Jahannam also will say the hellfire. Hal min mazid. So understand what is the real politics in South Africa and the world. Programs today, inshallah, 8:30 to 9, Brother Abu Bakr Rawat, 11 to 12, Al-Fiqh. And today we discuss the genius Al-Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, 1 to 2, Tafsir of the Noble Quran, inshallah, Al-Aziz Jimullah. Let's carry on and fire up, inshallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Muftisab, is there any ayat or hadith as proof to recite the Quran for the deceased?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. To understand Islam, you must understand and believe the Quran Sharif. You must believe in the Sunnah Mubarakah, the teaching, preaching of Mustafa Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You must uphold and believe the Sahaba, the beloved students and companions of the Master Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. All of them, male, female, adult and children, are going to Jannah, and no one has the right to criticize them, castigate them. Allah forgave them. Allah said, chapter 57, verse 10, وَكُلَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. And we believe in the awliyaullah, the special servants of Almighty Allah, as enshrined in the Quran. And we follow the four schools of thought. So this masla is qira'atul Quran il-amwat, to read the Quran Sharif for the deceased. So what Quran Sharif teaches us? وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. So go read chapter number 59 and verse number 7. Almighty Allah states what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought, commanded you, you accept it. And what he prohibited you, you must abstain from it. So hadith mentioned on the authority of Ma'qil bin Yasar radiallahu an in Mustana Ahmad, Iqra' Yasin ala mawtakum, read Surah Yasin for your deceased. The same hadith, the same words, similar words are mentioned in Abu Dawood. The same similar words are mentioned in Ibn Majah. Subhanallah. We have ta'addudul asanid, different chain of transmitters. If you know even the rudiments and basics of hadith and rijal and reporters and narrators, you will know a hadith like this reaches the rank of hasan li ghayrihi. I don't want to go into too much technical jargon to confuse you and blow your fuses. So we, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the four schools, all accept it. I give the Salafis one story. Till today, not one Salafi anywhere in Saudi or South Africa sell out traitors to Islam scholars for dollars, supporting the Murtad, Harami, Shaitan, Khabis, and that is MBS. So you must remember that that is what he is. And we need not be shy. Remember that they can go and fly a kite. That la yakhafu fillahi lawmat alaim. We have to speak the truth, whether people like or don't like. So in a case like this, so go open Ibn Qayyim, who's the celebrated student of Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. Hafiz Ibn Qayyim wrote a book called Kitab al-Ruh, which I have. On page 17, this incident is written there. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, goes to the cemetery graveyard. He hears one person reciting Surah Yasin. He told him, la taqra, don't read. That person cited, quoted the hadith. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal asked him, you heard it yourself? He said, yes. He said, carry on reading. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal says, you must read. Imam Abu Hanifa read, Shafi'i ma read, Maliki read, all read. Salafis always say, don't read. So we say, your qawl is mardood and rejected. They say, no, kulluha ahadith da'ifa. They're all weak and all that. So you know Najdis, this is Sahih Hadith. Nabi alayhi salam was asked, make dua for the Najd people. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi salam refused, notwithstanding the fact that the Master alayhi salatu salam was, is, will always be the only Rahmatul lil Alameen sallallahu alayhi salam. Chapter 21, verse 107, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. A mercy for the entire universe. But he, the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, refused to make dua for the Najdis. Najdis are the people there in Riyadh, in those areas. We don't say everyone, but the political elite, as you can see, and they are scholars for dollars who are leading the Ummah astray, the Madkhalis and so forth, who just support and defend their rulers. So they are corrupted people. I don't say Salafis are not Muslim. They're Muslim, but corrupted and astray. Majority of them, dwallu wa adwallu, so totally permissible to read Quran Sharif for the people who are alive, for the people who are dead and deceased, according to Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The Salafis must answer all these points that I mentioned if they want an academic discussion.
Mufti Saab, can someone go for Umrah if they owe the bank for a bond?
To go for Umrah, most to most, is mustahab, is sunnah, is not some farz or compulsory action. Number two, that you got involved with the bank, there's interest involved there, riba, viaj, sood, call it whatever you want to. The Quran Sharif, the Sunnah Mubarakah, condemns it in such a manner, you will not find any other action, there's so much wa'id and warning. Go read the Noble Quran, chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verses 275 to 279. I read for you one verse only, because of time constraint. Chapter 2, verse 279. فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا. If you do not abstain and refrain from riba, interest-related transactions, فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, then you so-called Muslim, be prepared for a war against Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and Mustafa Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hafiz ibn Hajar, yesterday I was reading about him because I met Hazrat Mufti Saab and we had a good academic discussion. So Hazrat taught me something. I said, let me go check it up and look for more details. So there was a great, great scholar, Hafiz Zahabi. So Zahabi was a giant in the Rijal and all that, in narrators and reporters and so. So he passed away, then Ibn Hajar Asqalani came, rahimahullah, born there, you understand, in Palestine, in Asqalan, where the Jutla stole and occupied, call it Ashkelon now, right next to Gaza. So nevertheless, so he said, I'm going to drink Zamzam, and I'm making this intention, I must have a memory like Hafiz Zahabi, rahimahullah. So if you compare the two, the memory of Zahabi was greater, but the work Ibn Hajar Asqalani did was much greater than Zahabi. So these are all our allamas, our genius, our giants. But the Ummah today doesn't know them. The Ummah knows Messi and these shaitans and them who messed up their life, remember that. So Allama Hafiz Ibn Hajar Rahimullah writes a book called Bulughul Maram Min Adillatil Ahkam, a masterpiece. I taught it over 10 years there, Darul Newcastle, with the grace and mercy of Allah. So you will find one hadith there related to interest. I just want to give you this hadith. Al-riba ithnani wa sab'una baba. That interest has got 72 categories. Wa adnahu, the minimum rank is ayyankiha ar-rajul ummahu, a person committing adultery with his own biological mother. Which person in his right mind will do that? Remember this. So we should think properly what we are doing nowadays with this interest. Now you got the bond, you got overdraft, you got interest. Every day you must make tawbah and beg Almighty Allah for forgiveness and get out of this interest. Everybody is cursed there, remember. The buyer, the giver, the one writing the contract, the lawyer, accountant, whoever, the witnesses, kulluhum sawa, all are equal in sin. The hadith is authentic in Muslim Sharif. So therefore, you can't go for Umrah. You must first settle all your debts and get out of interest immediately. That is what Islam demands from us.
Mufti Saab, I'd like to know, if a man tells his wife to pack her bags and go, is it regarded as a talaq? And Mufti Saab, can you please explain the law of talaq?
Remember that in Islam you have al-alfazu sariha, clear-cut words, explicit words. The husband tells his wife in the past tense or in the present tense that he has divorced her. He is divorcing her. So that divorce will take place, whether he made intention or not, because the words are clear-cut, explicit words. Al-alfazu sariha, what we call. Then you have al-alfazul kinaya, implicit words, unclear words. So if the husband told his wife, get out and F.O., and you know what word Chinese and Japanese and Greek they speak out of the husbands today when they're angry. So in a case like that, so what is the ruling? If he, the husband, made intention of talaq, then the talaq will take place, the divorce will take place. And if he did not make intention of divorce, he needs to be honest, because if he's lying and then they still continue as normal, then they're living in sin and the children will be born, illegitimate children. So you should understand the ramifications and consequences as well. So let's take both scenarios. The husband in that rage and fury, anger, he said, get out from here, pack your bags up and go to your parents' place and what have you. Allah forbid, playing straight into the hands of Satan, Shaitan and Lucifer. Chapter 2, verse 102, يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. This is what Satan, Shaitan wants, to break the husband-wife relationship. Muslim Sharif, every day at sunset, Iblis, the Shaitan, Iblis, his chief, he has a meeting, and what did you do? What did you do? The one Shaitan stands up, hey Iblis chief, I cause separation, divorce between the husband and wife, said come here. The word in Muslim Sharif, فَلْتَزَمَهُ, he embraces him, you did the best action, you see. So therefore, when Satan, Shaitan gets hold of us, read أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, read لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, leave there and go out, go to the masjid, go and make zikr, go read Quran and something. But the ummah today is crazy, remember? So they say, get out. So if he did not make intention and is sure about that and sincere, then the marriage is still valid. But he must still be very careful and circumspect in the future. If he made intention of talaq, then according to the Hanafis, it's talaq a ba'in, an irrevocable divorce, which means that during the iddat or after the expiry of the iddah, if they want to reconcile, then they must be tajdeedun nikah, a new nikah must be performed. That is the fatwa of the Hanafis. According to Shafis and them, even in the case where it is, get out and so forth, you know, pick up and go home to your parents' place and whatever you, he made intention of talaq, the talaq will be talaq raj'i, a revocable divorce. So during the iddat period, if they want to reconcile, then the husband can take her back, but it will be one talaq, and for the future, you'll only have two talaqs. That's Hanafis and Shafis. But the Hanafis say, talaq e ba'in. So if you want to reconcile during the iddat, then remember, a new nikah must be performed. And according to Shafis and them, during the iddat, you can take her back without a new nikah. Once the iddat expires, then all schools agree, if you want to reconcile, then there must be a new nikah that must be performed, and they'll only have two talaqs left for the future, if this is the first talaq. So that are the details that you need to understand.
Mufti Saab, I'm aware Muslim women should not be working. Due to our situation and me being remarried, at the moment I assist my old parents and family members with my salary. I would like to know if my husband has more rights on my salary due to him going through a difficult period in finances.
Let's take this as a case study. So now your husband had a roaring, flourishing business, but you know times turn and all that, so sometime downturn, so things are not going so smooth. So now you decided with him, Mashura, no, let me go and work and so forth. So we are not against your working, but you have to work from home. You Muslim woman and man, how come in COVID all of you are working at home? So what need there is now for you Muslim lady that you can't work at home? So you tell your boss, me, I'm prepared to do the work, but I don't want to come to the office, whatever there is. I will do it from the house. How we should do it during the COVID time and so forth. Today's whole world is going in that direction. 60-60. You know, I got nothing to do with 60-60. But it's a wonderful concept, remember that. You just buy things, you must remember, online, and they'll pay you. You have to pay them a certain extra fee. I heard it's 30-40 rand, whatever it is, depending on the order. And then they come deliver right by your house. So why you have to go there and so forth? So Allah is making life easy for us, sister. So now if your boss don't want to accept, tell him go fly a kite. So remember, you must stay in your house. And you can make bajas, you can make samosas, you can do sewing, you can do crocheting, you can do typing. So many things you can do. I know of my nieces and all of them. So many of doing our home operations. I'm even amazed, you know, how much work they do and so forth. So if you really want to, you can do that. And then remember that money is your money. Your husband can't poke his nose in your money business, and that you want to give it to your parents, he cannot stop you from that. So you should be very, very clear about that. But you can't be working there outside, interacting with a man every day, going with lipstick and dipstick and all this makeup and with special uniform and, you know, dressing up like a doll and all haram that. إِذَا خَرَجَتِ الْمَرْأَةِ وَهِيَ مُتَأَتِّرَةً حَدِيث صحيح, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. When a lady emerges from her home and she applies the dipstick, lipstick, makeup, what have you, فَمَرَّتْ بِمَجْلِسِ كَذَا وَكَذَا, the men can see her, she can see the man interacting, all that, فَهِيَ زَانِيَ, she is an adulteress. What she is? A loose lady, an adulteress. You can be in hijab, whatever, and fooling yourself. حَبِيبُنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ said you're a zaniya. Authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. We will leave it there, Mawla Salim. Barakallahu fik. Allah bless you, bless Appa and your family, and to you, the esteemed listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International and Markaz Sahaba. Tonight is Laylatul Jumu'ah. Abandon the Durood Sharif, salawat, salutations upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best gift for the best of Allah's creation on the best night and best day of the week is Durood and salawat. Akthiru min as-salati alayya yawm al-jumu'ah, increase the quantity of your salawat and Durood upon me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Authentic hadith in Tirmidhi, in Ibn Majah. Authentic hadith in Ibn Majah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.